right, take your Bible tonight, and I want you to turn to Proverbs chapter number 18. Tonight, we will take the subject of relationships, and we'll talk about it. This will be the eighth lesson on this subject, and tonight, we're going to talk about the friendship relationship, the friendship relationship. Proverbs chapter number 18. Is that what I said to you earlier? Proverbs 18. And when you get there, find verse number 24. Proverbs chapter 18. I want you to find verse number 24. Why don't you stand with me, please? Proverbs chapter 18, verse number 24. I'll read this one verse. It will launch us into the study tonight, and then we'll cover many, many other verses. Proverbs 18:24, it says, "A man that hath friends must show himself friendly, and there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother." And let's pray. Father, bless us tonight. Holy Spirit of God, do a supernatural work. And Lord, I ask that over and over and over again in our church services. God, we do not want to come to church and leave you out. You are the focal point. You wrote the book. If your Spirit would guide us as it's taught and as it's learned, we would learn it thoroughly, properly. So, Holy Spirit, give us understanding tonight, please, and help us to leave here practicing the relationship of friendship in a more scriptural way, please, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to talk about friendship tonight. This will be our eighth lesson on this subject. There was, I don't know if there still is, but there used to be on television I think they would call it a sitcom or a series called Friends. And so you know from what I know about that show, it has nothing to do with what the Scripture says about friendship. The world has an idea about friendship, but this thing of friendship, it's a spiritual thing. It's a scriptural thing. Now don't talk, children. Listen up this way. The Scripture has a lot to say about friendship, but the world's concept of friendship is all messed up. What I want to do is I want us to look at one other Scripture, then I'm going to use this Scripture as a part of the introduction. But let me say right off the bat, when we go to being friends, one of the big keys to this whole thing is picking the right kind of people to commit our friendship to at the beginning or at the start. Take your Bible and turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. I'm going to read to you three verses, maybe four. And there's some people, you have a friend and you should not be a friend of them. You're a close friend of them and you shouldn't be. Well, I'm going to teach about tonight, I'm going to talk about being committed to your friends. Well, you shouldn't have been a friend with this person in the first place. So you'll take the lesson that I teach in a little while on commitment, and you'll stay committed to a friend that you should have never been a friend to in the first place, and you're making a mistake by doing so. Part of the key with this thing of friendship is, number one, you being the right kind of person, but picking the right kind of person to whom you commit your friendship. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse number 14, it says, "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers." Now, look back at me. Here that God's telling us that I think you ought to love the lost, but I don't think that you ought to be yoked together with the lost, and that's friendship, by the way. I think you should be friendly with the lost, but you shouldn't say, "Oh, this is my good friend," a lost person that's got the devil as a father, that's uninterested in heaven, that's uninterested in the Bible. You're not thinking right when you do that. So it says, "Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness? What concord hath Christ with Belial, or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? What agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive, you." Now, look back at me if you will. So remember, when we talk about the relationship of friendship, the key is you're to pick the right kind of friend or the person, the right kind of person to whom you're going to commit your friendship in the first place. I think a mistake that we all make is I think sometimes we limit the thought of friendship to people that we're not related to, or people to whom we're not related. But that, I think that's wrong. I think husbands and wives, they may be husband and wife, they may love each other, but I think they're still supposed to be friends. And young people, so you all know, I was counseling when I was helping run a Bible college, two young people, they were single, 19, 20 years of age. Young man came to me and he said, "Brother Owens," he said, I'm not sure who I should like, who should I court or who should I get to know. And I said, "Well, what about this young lady?" He said, "Well, we work on the same bus route together," and they were both college students. And I said, "Well, what about her?" He said, "Well, we're just friends." I said, "Well, so you know, the best place to start any relationship is with friendship." You husbands and wives, there's some of you, if you will, and I don't. Please don't mess what I'm about to say up with worldly philosophy. You're lovers, but you know what? Some of you need to do. You need to be friends. You're not just supposed to enjoy just the marital relationship per se in the private world, but you're supposed to be friends. You start out with friendship, and then you add to it the other relationships of life. I know some marriages that could be helped if they just become friends. And being a friend to someone that you love makes a lot of sense. So don't limit friendship to, "I'm 19, my friend is 19, and we went to the same school. Now we're not related, but we're friends." It doesn't have to be that friendship is shared with non-relatives. So I think husbands ought to be friends to their wives and wives to their husbands. I think brothers ought to be friends to their sisters, and sisters to brothers, and sisters to sisters, and brothers to brothers. I think they're to be friends. Parents, I think you ought to be a friend to your children. And those of you that are rearing teenagers, let me say something very quickly, and this is not the teaching for tonight, but I believe, parents, if you have teenagers in your home, you need to work at becoming your teenager's friend. You say, "Why?" Well, you tell me who's most important in their life. Is their friends. They'll forsake mom, forsake God, forsake everything for a friend. And by the way, teenager, you're being silly when you do that. You don't know how immature that is. And I'm not trying to attack you. I'd like a light bulb to come on in your head. But let me say to you, so parents, you don't have to give up being mom and dad to have a friendship relationship with that child. But let's face it, a teenager, they get enamored with their friends, and their friends become big stuff in their life, and their friends become influential in their life. What would happen if your child seen you as a friend? Well, then you would get in on some of that relationship. So parents ought to be friends to their children. Hey, young people, would your parent say that you are their friend as well as being their child? I think children can be friends with their grandparent and a grandparent with the grandchild. I think the brethren ought to be friends. So I think we limit the relationship of friendship a little. So what I'm about to teach, if you're not careful, you'll think, well, he's going to teach on friendship, and we're talking about old Joe that I work with. No, we might be talking about somebody that you live with. The principles remain. And I believe that friendship is probably the mortar that holds all other relationships together. It is just that one thing that we can all share. We could be non-related in friends, but related in friends. And so we're talking tonight about the friendship relationship. But remember, your goal when it comes to a non-relative in this thing of friendship, you're supposed to pick the right kind of people to be friends with in the first place. I wrote this down. I've seen it a long, long time ago. It's not original with me, but I liked it. Happy is the man who has a friend. Happier is the man who is a friend. Happiest is the man who has a friend and is a friend. And I think the Lord wants us happy, and friendship is an essential part of this life. Now, I'm going to talk to you about the thing of friendship for a little while, and we're just going to use some Bible verses to help us with it. First of all, I wrote down four basic elements of the relationship that we call friendship. These are just basic elements. Proverbs chapter 18, if you want to turn to it, you may. You'll have to turn quickly. Proverbs chapter 18, again, verse number 24, the Bible says this: a man that hath friends must show himself friendly, and there's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Number one, when we talk about the four basic elements of friendship, I would say if you want to be a friend, you've got to show concern for the other person. You got to be concerned. The Bible says a man that hath friends must show himself friendly. What is that? You're showing interest in them. You're showing a concern for them. And that's just the Christian thing to do. Understand something, and I will probably say this later, folks, we're basically stingy. The human race is basically stingy. Most people, your main concern is having friends. But scripturally, your main concern should be being a friend. But we're so self-centered, and we are so stingy, it's all about how my friends treat me, what I'm going to get out of my friend, what's my friend going to do for me, what's my friend going to do to me, I want that. And if you're setting out there, and you're a husband, and earlier I said wives, you ought to be a friend to your husband, and you're a husband saying, yeah, that's right, she ought to be my friend. Or if you're a wife, you say, yeah, he ought to be my friend. You're self-centered. What you should have said was, I need to be a friend to my spouse. That's what I need to do. But because we're self-centered, we miss it. One of the basic elements of friendship is showing interest. It's being concerned. It's your desire to be a friend of them. That's why it says here in Proverbs 18:24, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly. What's he doing? He's showing himself interested. He's showing himself concerned. He has a desire to be a part of your life in a positive way. Now, what's another basic element of this thing called friendship? There's a closeness in friendship, and this closeness in cases where you're not related, there can be a closeness even deeper than a blood tie. Look again at Proverbs 18:24. It says, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly, and there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Now, you may say, well, that's talking about Jesus. Indeed, it does talk about Jesus, but I happen to believe if you studied that scripture just a touch more thoroughly under a microscope, you'll find out it is also talking about there are actual friends that you can have in life that will be closer to you and you to them than a blood relative. Now, I don't mean anything by this, but I have some relatives that I love them and we're good to each other, but I am, okay, Rick Young and I think we have a mutual friendship, but I'm closer to him than I am some of my blood relatives, and I'm not trying to cast a negative shadow on those blood relatives. I'm just telling you the scripture says there are friends that will stick closer than a brother. Especially, let me say, if you have a brother or a sister and they're lost and you're saved, there's something about your saved friends and the closeness that you share with them that you might not be able to share with a lost relative, a lost brother, or a lost sister, because the common denominator of Jesus Christ in the Bible. So, when you're looking at the basic elements of this relationship called friendship, first of all, make sure you're not stingy. It's not all about you. It's about you becoming a friend. The basic elements are showing concern, showing interest in that person. A basic element is the fact that you're going to share that with that friend, and you could actually build a relationship that is stronger than a blood tie with someone. Let's go on. Look at Proverbs chapter 27, verse number 10. Proverbs chapter 27, verse number 10. I'll show you another element of friendship. We have the need to be concerned. We have the need then to be close to them, deeper than blood ties. Now in Proverbs 27, 10, you're about to see commitment. Commitment in friendship. Proverbs 27, 10 says, "Thine own friend and thy father's friend forsake not. Neither go into thy brother's house in the day of thy calamity, for better is a neighbor that is near than a brother afar off." Notice those two words, forsake not. Folks, I think if you study all the scriptures, I've looked up in the Bible from the book of Genesis all the way through the book of Revelation, I've looked up every time the word friend or friends plural or friendship, every time it's used. Every single time it's used, I've looked them all up. And you'll find in a thorough study like that, when you give your friendship away, when you make a scriptural friendship with someone. Now, some of you, you've committed friendships. It wasn't scriptural. They weren't the right kind of person. You should have never made the friendship in the first place. Because you had not come out from among them and been you separate, saith the Lord. So yours was not founded on Scripture. But if you have started a friendship with someone, from all indications, that friendship is to be lasting. It's to be virtually what you would call eternal. That's why it says here in Proverbs 27:10, "Thine own friend and thy father's friend, forsake not." Forsake not. I hope those people that I have committed my friendship to, I hope that they know my friendship to them, it's intact and it's eternal. I even have enemies that would destroy me if they could, who I am still their friend, and I don't want to hurt them. And I've had enemies that wanted to hurt me while I was busy being their friend and protecting them while they're trying to hurt me. Now, I just want us to understand, if you're going to make the commitment of friendship, first of all, make it to the right kind of person, but then it's a lasting, deep relationship. You know, earlier when we talked about a man that hath friends must show himself friendly, and there's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother, Jesus has made a friendship commitment to you. When you got saved, he became your friend. Let me ask you, for how long is he your friend? It's eternal. You have security as a believer. And so he set an example for us. So when we're looking at the basic elements of friendship, first of all, you show concern. A man that hath friends must show himself friendly. You're taking interest in them. You're concerned for them. Secondly, you realize that this is a relationship that could be deeper than blood ties with those that are not blood kin. Thirdly, there is a commitment here. Let me show you something else about Proverbs 27:10 that I think is interesting to me. It says here, "Thine own friend and thy father's friend forsake not." Notice that when God is talking about this long-term commitment, this thing called friendship, parents have been brought into it. There's a lot of things that I could say about this, but you young people, you teenagers, look up here at your preacher for a second. I love you and I want you to be safe. If you're friends with people that you and that friendship can't be shared with your parents, there might be something wrong there. If mom and dad say, you know, be friendly and be kind, but I don't think you ought to be best friends with that person, you might want to listen to mom and dad. Here it's talking about sharing. It says, "Thy friend and thy father's friend." Brother Young, he is my friend. I have no reservation at all. If he knew my father, and my father wants me to be a good Christian, my father wants me in the ministry, my father wants me to live right, my father wants me to be doctrinally pure, all those things. I have no hesitation whatsoever of sharing Rick Young and my friendship with him, with my dad. You ought to be willing, and it ought to be that, and by the way, Brother Young, my father would enjoy, I know you know him and he knows you already, but I'll tell you what, my father would enjoy and approve of that friendship without a doubt. But when God brings the father, he said, "Thy friend and thy father's friend." it sounds to me like young people, there ought to be a willingness that those friendships be communicated with mom and dad, and there ought to be something good happening here, not bad, because that friendship can't be shared. And I don't... It's not hard to teach on things that we need to hear, and it's not because you know somebody is misbehaving or not misbehaving in the church. It's just routine that young people want to have friendships with people that mom and dad don't feel are wise, and then they mess up and get themselves into trouble. So I say it to you again tonight, your friendships, if mom and dad are spiritual and they want you to do right, you better be cautious about those friendships. So the basic elements of friendship is being concerned, being close, being committed. And then look at Proverbs chapter 17, verse number 17, if you want to turn to it. If not, I'm going to read it to you. Proverbs chapter 17, verse number 17, it says, "A friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity." That little part about the brother being born for adversity, any of you have a brother out there? You don't need me to exegete this scripture, do you? You already understand it. Boy, if there's people that can get on each other's nerves, it's brothers and sisters. But it says a friend loveth at all times. That may even be one of the reasons why there's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Brothers and sisters, there's a certain amount of tension that can be there. But here it says a friend loveth at all times. So what's that telling us? There's to be a consistency in this thing called friendship. Loves at all times. Now, let me again go back to this thing of stinginess in friendship. Remember, it's not our goal to go gather, and this is so contrary to today and Facebook. It's not scripturally your goal to gather friends. Your scripture goal is to be a friend. And you say, "Well, I've got 1,000 friends." I doubt it. Your goal is to be a friend. And I'm sure I wrote this down in my outline for later, but folks, you can't pick who's going to be your friend. You can't do that. You can only pick to be a friend. And if your life is set up on, well, if I have friends, I'll be happy, but if I don't have friends, I won't be happy. Do you understand then that your happiness has been taken out of your control? But if you're made happy by being a friend, then nobody can stop that. If Rick Young decides not to be my friend, I'm glad he's my friend. But I'm not going to be made happy by him being my friend. I want to be made happy by me obeying the scripture and me being his friend. That means if he hated me, I can still be happy because my life was not set up and my happiness was not dependent on what he did for me. My happiness is set up and dependent on what I do for him. There are husbands and wives in here. You need to get that. You became a friend to your husband. You become a friend to your wife. It doesn't matter what they do. We live in the "you scratch my back, I'll scratch yours" kind of a world. True friendship, listen very carefully, true friendship does not require reciprocation. Reciprocation means I'm your friend if you're my friend. You know, 5-year-olds, I'll be your friend if you'll be my friend. You're not my friend? Well, I'm not your friend. That's juvenile. It's juvenile as a Christian. It's juvenile as a husband. It's juvenile as a wife. It's juvenile as a teenager. It's juvenile as a friend. So, I said this. I said that the four basic elements of friendship are being concerned. Secondly, being close. Thirdly, being committed. And fourthly, being consistent. The Bible says, a friend loveth at all times. Now, let me help some of you. Next thing I want to teach you are some basic steps if you'd like to lose a friend. I can show you how to lose a friend. Now, some of you could teach this better than I. But I'm going to go ahead and teach it just in case. How do you lose a friend? Take your Bible and turn to Proverbs chapter, 16. Proverbs chapter 16, verse number 28. Proverbs 16, 28. How can we lose friends? Well, my first point is this. You gossip to them, or you listen to gossip about them, and you'll destroy a friendship. Proverbs 16, verse number 28, the Bible says this. A froward man soweth strife, and a whisperer separateth chief friends. A whisperer separateth chief friends. Now notice it even uses the word chief, a chief friend. You've got Indians, you've got a chief, and then you've got a bunch of squaws and what would they call the braves? Yeah, squaws and braves, but then the chief. That's someone that is strong. That's someone that at the top of the totem pole. Some of the very best, strongest, most powerful friendships will be destroyed by whispering. By whispering. Let me go back to the husband-wife relationship. Wives, you talk, you gossip about your husband. Now, other than seeking counsel, you shouldn't be going around talking negative about, you know, if you go to a counselor and you need to talk about the positives and negatives in a relationship, that's one thing. You go see your pastor, you let them help. But if you're on Facebook or if you're emailing or blogging or whatever with someone and you're sharing negatives about your spouse with other people, it's no wonder you can't get it together. You tell everybody everything that you think's wrong with your husband, and you tell everybody everything you think's wrong with your wife. You go around talking that way. You go ahead and tell your mom. You go ahead and tell your dad. You go ahead and tell your aunt. You go ahead and tell your uncle. You tell your trusted friend and let everybody develop a bad attitude about your mate. And let me tell you something. You're going to have a hard time healing that if you're not careful. Because a whisperer separateth chief friends. Really, to me, I happen to think probably the chiefest of friendships in this life is probably between husband and wife. Everybody okay? It is really quiet. All right. So how can we destroy a friendship? According to this, gossip about your friend. But let me just tell you this in general. It says a whisperer separated chief friends. So let me give you another little concept to go along with this. If you and your friend are gossips, you can destroy a relationship. You don't have to be talking bad about each other. You just talk negative about others. You can destroy your friendship. You say, how so? Okay. Brother Young, we try to guard our relationship. We don't go around talking bad about people. But can I tell you something? If I'll talk bad to you about Brother Edwards, I'm going to guess I might talk bad to Brother Edwards about you. You say, no, I've got my sin under control. No, you don't. If your friend and you are big gossips, let me just tell you something. They're talking about you. And the right setting, what will happen? Eventually, that'll catch up to the friendship, and it'll divide the friendship. Okay? So if you love your friend, when the gossip comes up, you say, I don't think we should talk about that. Why? Because I love you. And the Bible teaches me that whispering divides. It does not bring together. There are people in this room, you have weak relationships because you're a whisperer. You gossip. You say, but my relationship's weak with someone and I'm not gossiping about them, but you're gossiping to them. And this scripture does not say that they had to be the target of the gossip. It just says the whisperer is going to divide the relationship. Okay, let's go on. How can we destroy a friendship? Look at Proverbs chapter 17, verse number, I don't know what verse. Look at Proverbs chapter 17. I know I've got a verse here. Try verse number 9. We're going to hope. Proverbs 17:9, it says, he that covereth a transgression seeketh love, but he that repeateth the matter separateth very friends. Now, look back at me. First of all, I said, whispering or gossiping destroys friendships. Secondly, betraying the confidential nature of a friendship can destroy a friendship. This is talking about someone that repeateth a matter. Okay? I go to Brother Young and I say, I'll tell you what, Brother Young, it's just been a hard, hard week. Mrs. Owens got a Harley and she got picked up going 125 miles an hour down by the post office, and just pray for us. Okay? So I shared with him a burden. Now, he gets on Facebook, which he doesn't, but he gets on Facebook. He gets on the phone. He calls Brother Steve. He says, "You hear about Owens? She got her a Harley. Got picked up going 125 miles an hour. You know something? You just hurt our friendship. You repeated a confidential matter. You gave something away that I thought you loved me enough that you would help me and you wouldn't hurt me." Let me go back to husband-wife. Husband-wives do this all the time. They repeat confidential matters and hurt the friendship element of their relationship. I can guarantee you, there are marriages in our church that suffer because people can't keep their mouth shut. They just don't keep their mouth shut. Let me say this, husband, wife. You want to get counsel about your finances? Get counsel. But I would be careful going around telling everybody about that dumb thing that your husband did or that dumb thing that your wife did financially. Don't you think that you would want to protect and be cautious with that type of information? Are you so beggarly and desire to have someone feel sorry for you that you've just got to share all the negatives about your spouse? Now again, come see your preacher and get help. I must be saying some things that are hard on you because you're all really quiet tonight. Either that or this is as boring as snot. I really didn't see any mucus coming into this at all tonight. Okay, so you want to destroy a friendship. You gossip to or with your friend. You betray the confidential nature of a friendship. Go to Proverbs chapter 6. Isn't the Bible a wonderful book? Proverbs chapter 6, look at verse number 1. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 1. The Bible says, "My son, if thou be surety for thy friend, if thou hast stricken thy hand with a stranger, thou art snared with the words of thy mouth, thou art taken with the words of thy mouth. Do this now, my son, and deliver thyself." Look back at me, if you will, here, where it talks about, "My son, if thou be surety for a friend, if thou have stricken thy hand with a stranger," you know, two people, they make a deal. I decide, let me tell you the principle. What I think this is teaching, you better be very, very careful having financial dealings with your friends. Do you all understand what can happen when you loan $1,000 to your friend? You better be some ultimately spiritual people, and you better have some good common sense about how to handle yourself about that. You say, "Well, how should I ever lend money to a friend?" Here's what I do. The Bible says, "Lend, hoping for nothing again." Say, what's that mean? Brother Young says to me, "Brother Owens, could you lend me $1,000? I would say, "Sure, let's shake on it." So we struck hands, we shook on it, but in my heart, it's a gift. And it'll never offend me if he never pays me back. I'm not gonna let $1,000 come between us. I'm just not gonna do it. He said, "I borrow, fine, use whatever word that you want." So you say, "Pastor, I'm coming to you tonight." Well, I might not shake your hand on it, though. See, there's a difference. You got to pick your friends wisely in the first place. Okay, but this is talking about money dealings with our friends. Hey, and folks, let's just take, now Brother Young and I, we're not blood relatives, we're just friends, but let's take this to another step. You better even be careful what kind of financial agreements you make with your brothers, your sisters, your aunt, your uncle, your parents. Y'all been alive long enough to watch what can happen when it comes to money, and moms and dads and grandmas and grandpas and aunts and uncles, and Here God's saying, you, if you're not wise, will jeopardize friendship over borrowing and lending money. The scripture, if you pressed it to its fullest extreme, is recommending that you not sign you don't sign for somebody else's loan. But the whole concept here is being very careful in regard to friendship and money. Two friends, best of friends, grew up together, went to high school together, went to college together, got a job in the very same place. I worked with them. They worked side by side. They bought the same kind of cars. They married sisters. One's name was Tim. The other was Troy. One night, one paycheck was delayed. The other guy came to his buddy and said, look, they messed up my paycheck. Can you lend me $250? I watched that night that friendship destroyed over $250, and they'd been best friends for 21 years. The loan was made. One had a hard time getting it back to the other. There was a delay, and before long, they were parking on different sides of the parking lot, asking the boss not to allow them to work side by side by machines. They were fighting and fussing. I'm just saying to you, I'd be careful. I'd be careful money dealings with your friends. Hey, you may have to say, brother, I love you too much to loan you money. And somebody with a little bit of sense would catch it. But you say, can I lend them money? Yes, if you can have the right attitude. You say, what's the right attitude? Lend hoping for nothing again. You never let money come between you and anybody. Let's go on. How do you destroy friendship? First of all, you gossip to or about a friend. Second, you betray the confidential nature of the friendship. Thirdly, you don't use wisdom in regard to finances and a friend. You'll like this one. Turn to Proverbs chapter 27. Proverbs chapter 27, verse number 14. In Proverbs 27:14, God is basically telling us that you can destroy a friendship when you do not respond properly to a friend's mood. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 14, listen to what it says. He that blesseth his friend with a loud voice, rising early in the morning, it shall be counted a curse to him. So, it's early in the morning, and you spent the night with your friend, and it's 6 in the morning, and they were going to sleep till 9. And so you go over to their bed where they're sound asleep and say, wake up, wake up, wake up! And you thought that was really funny. You were trying to be a rooster. And you may find, you say, well, what was their mood? They were asleep. You say, what mood is that? It is the finest and the most wonderful mood known to man. And what's happening? You have used your personality. You have used yourself in a wrong way. For instance, let me show you something. You should use your enthusiasm in your friendship, but you got to use it wisely. Have you ever watched someone that does not know how to comfort people at a funeral? Someone's loved one has passed and they're in heaven, and your friend has a broken heart, and at the moment they're weeping. So you laugh and say, well, good thing there's a heaven. Isn't it wonderful there's a heaven? I'm glad she lived till she was 80. I mean, look, isn't that wonderful that she died? There's some people that virtually come across that way. You know what you'll do? You'll ruin a friendship by not being wise about your friend's mood. Now, for those of you that are moody all the time, you're impossible. You're impossible. How in the world can your friend know what to do? Because one minute you're happy, the next you're sad, and they're saying, oh, I wonder what kind of mood he's in right now. I mean, what's going on with her right now? Can I approach? May I approach, or should I stay back? Now, there's some, you're impossible. But I'm saying someone that's generally normal, you have to be careful with their mood. Listen, cheer me up if I'm sad, but stop and realize something did break my heart, and use some wisdom on how you cheer me up. And you know, every once in a while, the best thing to say to a friend is nothing. So what am I supposed to do? Be there. Just be there. You don't always have to use words to fix things, and I've heard a few of you talk. You make things worse when you talk. But what's this talking about? It's talking about how you respond to your friend. I'll go back to husbands and wives. Watch how you respond. Now, if you're a moody, out of control kind of a person, you make it difficult. But you, as the friend, be careful how you pick up on, look at them, look at what kind of a day they're having, and try to help it and not make it worse by overwhelming them with what you expect them to do and how you expect them to behave. Parents, you can help yourself a little bit, especially with teenagers this way. I don't think that teenagers are moody all the time. But their bodies are going through adjustment. They're not children anymore, but they're not totally adults anymore. And wow, that's a tough transition. And so you all know, every adult in here went through that. Every last one of you did. But it does not hurt, parent, to take a look at what's happening with the young person. Try to adjust yourself some. And try to help them. Let them see this thing called attitude and good attitude in action. Let them see it. Okay, so this is what we've said so far, and I've got to hurry. I said there are four basic elements of friendship. It's being concerned or showing interest. It develops into a closeness that's deeper than a blood tie. There is a lifetime commitment. And then there is a consistency that is to be there. It doesn't have to be reciprocated then. How can I lose a friend? How do I damage a friendship? By gossiping with or about my friend. By betraying the confidential nature of the friendship. By mishandling myself financially with my friend. And making a wrong response to their mood in life. Let me give you a couple benefits to the thing called friendship, and we'll be done. Go to Proverbs chapter 17, verse number 17. We looked at this earlier. Here the Bible says in Proverbs 17:17, a friend loveth at all times. A friend loveth at all times. Let me say then, here the Bible tells us a friend will provide support during difficult times. They'll provide support, because here it says a friend loveth at all times. Now, the obvious assumption in this scripture is that friends are going to love you when it's a good time. That's easy. But it's put in here because there are bad times. And here this tells us the friend will love us in bad times. Notice it did not say a friend will disagree with you when you're bad. You know what it said? They'll love you when you're bad. You say, I'm their friend, but they're doing wrong. Keep on loving them. That doesn't mean you ought to run around with them. That didn't mean that you ought to be spending a bunch of time with them. So what do I do? Well, as a friend, you may love, but you're not necessarily spend a bunch of time with them. But what's a benefit of a true scriptural friendship? They provide support during the difficult times, because a friend loveth at all times. Now, go to Proverbs chapter 27. We'll just do a couple more and we'll be done. Proverbs chapter 27. I want you to look at verse number 9. Proverbs 27. Proverbs 27, verse 9. The Bible says this. It says, ointment and perfume rejoice the heart, so doth the sweetness of a man's friend by hearty counsel. Now, here it's talking about ointment or oil and perfume rejoice the heart. Mrs. Owens wears a perfume. It's called, Mrs. Brinklow, Flower. That's it, Flower. My wife wears a perfume that's called Flower, and I love to smell it. It's just a beautiful scent, and it rejoices my heart. The Bible compares that to a friend giving. When it talks about hearty counsel, it's not talking about counsel just from the heart. Understand something. If a young man is stout, he's hearty, he's strong. When it's talking about counsel here, you all do understand that if you ever counsel anyone, you're not supposed to tell him what you think. You're to tell him what God thinks, because what you think could be wrong. So if God is recommending that one of the benefits of friendship is hearty counsel. It's talking about godly counsel. There's no way the scripture could be true if God was talking about what you think. It has to be what God thinks, because the Bible says, let God be true and every man a liar. And so, but what's a benefit of friendship? A true friend will give you scriptural counsel. Look, so you all know, I'm your pastor, and but I think you'll find out as your pastor, I'm also your friend. But I am not afraid as your friend to say to you, you're wrong about this. I'll say it gently. I'll say it kindly. Sometimes I'll break it into three appointments. You say, why can't you figure out how to word it? No, you can't figure out how to take it. But if I'm truly going to be your friend, I have to say to you, that's going to destroy you. Now, that doesn't mean I'll hate you, because a friend loveth at all times. I'll love you while I disagree with you. And some of you, you can't get that. You can't disagree and love all at the same time. But that's a maturity. You've got to develop that. Hey, you say, well, why should we be like that? Because that's how God is. God loves you. And every one of us, there's something in our life right now that God disapproves of. Everybody here. You say, well, not me. Well, pride goeth before destruction. They say, we have not sinned. And he said, the truth is not in you when you think that. Everybody here falls short. And there's something God disagrees with you on right now in your life. But thank God he loves you. So a friend will provide support during a difficult time. A friend will give you informed and scriptural counsel. Now, let me give you one more. And did I already say that once? Look at Proverbs chapter 27, verse number 17. Proverbs 27:17. This will be the last point. Cross my heart. Hope Brother Edward dies. Proverbs chapter 27, verse number 17. The Bible says, "Iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend." You say, what's that mean? A true scriptural friend improves your attitude. Improves your attitude. Adults, you work with someone, and because of their behavior, your spiritual attitude is worse. That's not what friendship is. Teenagers, if you're with someone and because of them you have a worse attitude toward mom and dad, that's not friendship. You have a worse attitude toward church. That's not. Here the Bible teaches that a spiritual friend increases your spirit. It makes your spirit healthier. Husbands and wives, we're to help one another's spirit. We're to help one another be healthier spiritually. They'll brighten your mood. Now, this isn't a principle, but the Bible teaches in Proverbs 22, verse 24 and 25, it says, thou shalt make no friendship with an angry man. So God tells us, remember back when we started out in the book of Corinthians where the Bible said, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord? And I told you one of the keys to friendship is make sure that you pick the right kind of person to who you commit your friendship, because this is to be a lifetime commitment. You're to share this, and this is a big deal. Well, one of the things I should tell you, and to those of you that are already married, you say, I'm married to someone and they have a bad temper. There's nothing we can do about that but fix them, and you're to stay married to them. Nowhere in the Bible does it say because somebody has a bad temper, you divorce. But let me tell you something. You young people that are not married, you look right here at your pastor. If a young man or a young lady has a violent temper, if all they do is gripe and complain and attack their mom and dad, and you marry them, you may regret it someday. Young lady, if the young man that you think you like has a temper and he's losing his temper and he's yelling and screaming all the time, you will be married to him someday, and he'll beat you if you're not careful. You should have seen it coming. And let your pastor, who is your friend, tell you the truth about it. Now, I think this, and don't misunderstand. I think a man ought to have a temper, but I think he ought to control it. A man without a temper is a weenie. A man is supposed to be strong, but he's to control that strength. But I'll just tell you, hey, you young men, there's this girl you like. She's a hothead. Buddy, you're going to find out. The Bible says you're going to wish you were living on a housetop someday, buddy. There's a book in the Bible named after that. The book of Haggai. You're going to say, I'm married to a hag. When someone can't control their temper, that is one of the danger signs about this thing of developing a friendship, because that friendship then can develop into a love relationship, and then once you're there, you're stuck. And so, I promised that I wouldn't teach anymore, so we're done. The friendship relationship, I think it is it's a relationship that you never get rid of. You start out friends and you get married. You start out friends and even followers and leaders. Remember, husbands and wives, brothers and sisters, parents and children. This relationship just carries all the way through. I was preaching for a man. One of my sons had been there to visit his church. And he said, Brother Owens, he said, right before you preach, I want to tell you something I think will encourage your heart. He said, your son was passing through here. And he stopped in at our church, and he and I were fellowshipping for a little while after church. And we brought up that you and I were friends. And your son said this. He said, you and I have something in common. The pastor said, well, what is that? My dad is my best friend. My dad is my best friend. I'm his dad. But I want to add that friendship to it. I'm your pastor, but I really want you to see I'm your friend too. It's my job to be your spiritual leader, and I'll be that. But I don't have to eliminate friendship from that. I add friendship to that. Don't leave friendship out. It's the mortar or the glue that probably holds all of them together. There comes a point when you don't get to be mommy and daddy as much anymore, but you can always be deep in friendship with your grown children. And that ought to be what you strive for. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. There are some that you ought to separate. You started friendships with people it wasn't scriptural, it wasn't right, it wasn't started right. You ought to separate from some friends. Or some of you need to build the friendship within your own family. Friendship, it's not just for non-relatives. Within the church, let me help some of you to acclimate to the Twin Rivers Baptist Church. You decide that you're going to be a friend to the people in this church. You say, I want them to accept me. I want them to take me in. I want to be brought under their wing. That's unscriptural. It's not your place to tell people to be your friend. It's your place to be a friend to them. You don't get to pick who's going to be your friend. You just get to pick to be a friend. The Bible teaches if you would show friendship, you'll get it back, because a man that hath friends must show himself friendly. Who here tonight would say, Pastor, I've learned something about the relationship of friendship. I think it's going to help me. I've learned something scriptural that I can apply to my life. Would you raise your hand and let God see it? God bless you. You may put your hand down. There's some you might need the altar. Maybe a husband, a wife, a teenager, someone in the church. Maybe you need to come pray for a friend. Remember, you have a friend that's backslidden. You're not supposed to spend time with them. The scripture is very clear on that. You ought to love them. A friend loveth at all times. Some of you need to separate from some friends. Love them? Sure. Spend all your time with them? No. We're going to have an altar call. I'll ask the pianist to begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. If you need a moment at this altar, you come. Say, I want some friends. I'll tell you the very best way to get friends. You become a friend. And it may not be that the person that you've committed friendship to will become your friend, because you have no control over that. But the Bible says in Galatians 6:7, be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. If I will go around being a friend to people, and if I consume my life with being friends to people, God then will provide me with some friends. And I can testify. I try to spend my life being friends, friends to preachers, friends to the fallen, friends to help people. And God has given me some great friendships that He chose, that He set up, especially for me. Brothers and sisters, sure, your brother and sister, you share mom and dad, you ought to be friends. I could help some of you with a stepmom or a stepdad or a stepson or a stepchild. Let me tell you what you do. You say, I just don't feel like that's my mom or that's my dad or that's my son or that's my daughter. Why don't you become a friend? And that friendship right there will start the relationship that ought to be a stronger relationship than what it is. You're just not a friend to them. Ushers, if you'll get the prayer bulletins,